Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Hi there, ladies and gents, and welcome to this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investment Podcast with me, your host, Frank Flake. Now, in this episode, I'm going to give my thoughts on the recent budget. It's not going to be a technical analysis. You can go online, you can read all the property forums. There's every man and his dog falling over themselves to work out if you're 1% better or 0.5% better or 2% better, etc. But the long and short of it is, for me, if you're doing sophisticated property deals, it doesn't matter. You make so much money in the deal, the fact that you pay tax on your profits doesn't even come into it. If you are investing correctly in the first place, if you are doing deals with huge amounts of profit in them. So for me, there were three main property related elements to the budget. The non-element, which isn't included in the three, is the fact that national insurance has been reduced, which doesn't apply to property investors because it's not earned income, most of the forums will tell you, which isn't really true. Because yes, if you take your income from personally owned property, you're not going to pay national insurance on it. And what they were asking for, some of the lobbyists, was a reduction in income tax, because that would have applied to property income, share dividends, as well as earned income. But they've only applied it to national insurance. Now, it's only 2%, so it's not a huge amount. But if you really want to capitalize on that, well, you can pay yourself a salary from your property company. That's absolutely fine. You've got enough properties in there. Pay yourself a salary. You can pay yourself £12,500, roughly speaking, per annum tax-free. Do it that way. So that's the first non-event, really, that they didn't give to property investors. So the first of the three property-related adjustments to the UK tax protocol are the fact that higher rate capital gains tax has been reduced from 28% to 24%. And that doesn't seem to have had a lot of publicity. It was already higher for property investors anyway. So it was already 8% higher for property disposals compared to anything else at all. But now they've reduced the higher rate, but not the lower rate, interestingly, by 4%. So you can now sell as a higher rate taxpayer, which most property investors are, because the income is calculated as gross income before mortgage is deducted. And so if you think how few properties you need before you hit the higher rate tax threshold, it really isn't many at all. Most portfolio landlords are going to be straight into higher rate, which means when they dispose of their properties, they're going to be paying higher rate capital gains tax, which is probably why the government didn't bothered to change the lower tax threshold. They're not interested in people with one or two buy-to-lets. They're interested in people with portfolios. And so that first change in capital gains tax, for me, and please, if you're new to the podcast, remember, I'm not political. I'm not political in any way. I sit here really neutrally. I just look quite dispassionately and objectively at the rules as they change, and they change frequently. You've got two budgets a year now in the UK. And this change will make it more attractive for portfolio landlords to sell their properties, which for me is a positive thing, because I want to buy properties. We're in a depressed market right now. I want to fill my boots. I've got the goal of buying 100 this year. This has just made it easier because my clients are going to pay less tax when they sell to me. That's the first change, capital gains tax on property coming from 28 to 24 pence in the pound. Now, does that make a big difference to people selling? Not huge, if I'm honest, but it does make a difference. And all of these changes are cumulative. They all add on to previous changes. And we have to remember, we're in a very, very pro-selling environment right now. That's one of the reasons I'm buying so many properties, is because if you're a professional investor, now is a brilliant time to build your portfolio because so many investors are exiting the market. There has been so much change in the market that people haven't kept up. People have kept with the same game plan that's worked for decades, but now it's not working and they're not making money. In fact, some of them are losing money, and so they're wanting to offload their properties. And even if they're not losing money, they might be spending way more time than they've previously spent on their properties. The second change is the way that furnished holiday lets are to be treated. Now, I've been predicting this for a while, that legislation is going to change to reduce the number of, let's call them Airbnb properties. And I predict that licensing will come in. I predict that Article 4 will come in and changes to the planning environment around furnished holiday lets. There will be a significant reduction in Airbnb properties. I've been predicting that for over a year, and this probably is the first step towards that. And it's quite a clever way of doing it. They could have gone down the planning and the licensing route. They still may do. I think they probably will. Whether they bother to go down that route will depend on how many this tax change reduces. So instead of starting with that, which is what they've kind of done with buy to let, they've just taken away the benefits of furnished holiday lets, which will be the final nail in the coffin for many investors. Many investors have moved away from buy to let properties and into Airbnb in order to maintain the profits that they were making. And now the government has taken those away with relatively little notice. I think the full changes are coming into effect in 2025. So not loads and loads of notice like we had with Section 24. I think we had about 4 or 5 years notice with that. So this will drive already tired and fed up landlords who own their properties personally into selling. They've furnished these properties at huge expense. They've had to learn how to operate them in a completely different environment. They've just transitioned away from buy-to-let to holiday lets, and now the rug's being pulled beneath their feet and they're going to be taxed through the nose for it. And that, I think, is going to be a significant push towards selling. Now, the great news is it doesn't apply if the properties are owned in companies. So it's the same as mortgage rate relief. Only penalizes, and this is really quite unfair, but it only penalizes historic landlords who have bought in their own names. And it's very clear to me what the government are trying to do. They're trying to drive landlords with lots of properties to sell. And many will have to, and many will choose to. So those first two changes are really good for us as sophisticated property investors. Really good. The third change, which has barely had any publicity whatsoever, and it's because it probably doesn't affect a lot of people, but I think this one is going to affect me the most out of all the changes. It's the abolition of multiple dwelling relief. And the way that this works, and I've used it on purchases previously, I was planning to use it on some of my current purchases. The way that it works is, I'll give you a real example. I bought 26 flats last year for 2.5 million. And the stamp duty on that would have been, I don't know the exact figures, but let's say £250,000, there or thereabouts. If you treated the transaction as though it were one transaction at 2.5 million, because they're residential properties, residential flats, 26 of them, and you pay 3% on the whole amount, then you pay 5% on some of it, and then as you go up, you pay all the slabs of stamp duty. We applied multiple dwelling relief, which basically says, well, how much would your stamp duty be on one of the units? So there were 26 units. They were just under £100,000 each. And so ease of maths, if we said they were exactly £100,000 each, and there were 25 of them, just for ease, £100,000 flat, we would pay £3,000 stamp duty. There's 25 of them, we pay £75,000, and it was in the region of £75,000 that we paid. In fact, it was exactly £75,000 because we paid slightly less on all of them than £3,000, but the complete purchase price was £2.5 million. So we ended up saving ourselves six figures in stamp duty. Completely legally, completely within the rules. We still paid £75,000 in tax to buy the portfolio. And if we sold it now, someone else would pay £75,000 to buy it. It's quite a punitive tax, stamp duty. It's quite a... it adds a lot of friction to the property market. So the change is that treating a large transaction of multiple units as multiple units is no longer allowed. So it doesn't matter if you're buying lots of properties. They're just going to treat them as if you're buying one. Now, on the face of it, that just looks really expensive. And to be fair, and I've stopped worrying about what changes might happen. And the main reason I don't worry anymore, I used to get excited and read the predictions and stuff. The reason I don't get worried anymore is because they can't tax me highly enough to stop me making really good money from property. And as soon as you get into that mindset and think to yourself, yeah, it's just the rules of the game. They're just tinkering with the rules, and that is all they are doing. So if, for example, all of my portfolio purchases, and I'm buying other portfolios at the moment, and this will impact on them. If all my other portfolio purchases are going to attract more stamp duty, then that's fine. I'll just pay less for the properties. And if everyone's purchase prices, if everyone's purchase costs have gone up because of stamp duty, then it will just depress the market more. And I am excited about anything that depresses the general property market, and this will depress it, which means I get longer to buy, longer of this brilliant once in a property cycle, once in a decade, once in 15 year opportunity to buy properties. Just got a bit longer. Maybe instead of 100 now, I'll buy 120 or 150 before we move into the growth stage of the property cycle. So there will be ways of paying less stamp duty. My initial thoughts are commercial. So if you buy over six properties in a single transaction, you can opt to pay commercial stamp duty instead of residential stamp duty, which is 5%, but you get the first £150,000 stamp duty free. Now, the problem is if you're buying six properties, you're not going to be buying them for 150 total. So it is treated like a single transaction, but you do get the first 5%, the first £150,000 with no stamp duty. Then you pay 5% stamp. In fact, you pay 2% for the next 150 and then 5% from memory. So on a £1 million transaction, it's quite attractive. On a £1 million transaction, you pay 2% on 150K. So that's £3,000. So on the first 250K, you pay £3,000. And then on the next, which is obviously only just over 1%. And then on the next £750,000, you pay 5%. So £40,500 on a £1 million property purchase. Not bad. Not great. It's 4%, isn't it? That's probably less than residential stamp duty. It is less than residential stamp duty. But then as you go higher into higher purchase prices, it's going to become less favorable. However, that's only if you buy in a single transaction.
You're listening to the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast with Frank Flegg. If you enjoy this content, why not follow Frank's TikTok, where you'll get loads of bite-sized investing tips. Just search TikTok for Frank Flegg. That's Frank, FLEGG.
So what I'm thinking is, well, we'd buy in different transactions. We do loads of control now, pay later. So maybe I'd buy, let's say there were 30 properties to buy and they're all worth £100,000. Stamp duty on a £3 million transaction is quite high because you pay 5% on £2.75 million. but we've just worked out the stamp duty on 1 million is not so bad. And so potentially, and this might actually suit the landlord better for capital gains tax, for income tax, etc., you could buy 10 properties today into one SPV. You could take an option for 12 months in a second SPV, and you could take an option for, or an exchange of delay completion for another 10 properties for 24 months time. Be even better if the shareholdings of the SPVs were different. But even if they were the same, they're all separate titles. They're happening at different times. And I'd want to have in writing from my accountants that that was allowed. Because the worst thing is if HMRC come and say that's not allowed, you want to be covered by insurance so that you can fight it. Or if it's, if HMRC are correct in their challenge, then you want to be insured for the additional tax. So I suspect there'll be quite a lot of creative purchasing of portfolios. And as someone who's planning to buy quite a few portfolios, I think this is an area we'll need to look at. But it really isn't a huge change. It's just the biggest issue with stamp duty is it's a cost up front that you can't leverage. So every penny of stamp duty has to come out of your pocket. And for investors that don't want to put any money down up front, that's a bit of an inconvenience. But everyone pays it, so it's not the end of the world. And if I'm honest, that last change to multiple dwelling relief, I don't fully understand. I understand the first two changes. Well, I understand the first three changes. The first one was the change to national insurance. Well, that is so obviously a vote winner so that the general election goes better. So I understand that one. I'm not sure how big an impact it will have, but to my mind, that's a very clear cause and effect. They want to win the election, so they give money to the people that are going to be voting for them. So that's the reason for the first change. Second change was capital gains tax reduced, which is interesting because they took away the allowance a few years ago. So they've made it less likely for people to sell, and now they've made it more likely. So I don't quite understand. And I think sometimes we look into it a lot and we try and see meaning, but those two changes, they're probably separated by maybe 4 years. I don't think it's joined up. I honestly don't think 4 years ago they said, oh, and then in, you know, we're gonna make it more costly for people to sell, and then in 4 years' time we're gonna make it less costly. I don't think it's that joined up. I think sometimes the pundits give the politicians more credit than they're due. But I understand why they've done it now. In the moment, they want to push more property onto the open market. Well, it will do that. That will have the effect of suppressing prices further and dampening the property market even more, because there'll be an oversupply of property, which we already have. But that will make property more affordable to first-time buyers, etc., which seems to be a real focus of the government and focus of the media. I don't quite understand why we don't have this fixation in Europe of owning property. You look at the likes of Germany, they often will rent their whole life. It's not a huge priority to own your own home, but it is what it is. So I understand the capital gains tax reduction. I understand the furnished holiday let changes and bring them in line with buy-to-let investments. That will force investors to sell furnished holiday lets. And there is quite a lot of political pressure on the government to reduce the number of holiday lets in certain parts of the country. If you look at parts of Cornwall and Devon, etc., Lake District, New Forest, property prices are very unaffordable because people own second homes and holiday homes that they are renting out. And so I understand that the government are trying to make it more affordable for local people to buy houses in their local community. That makes sense. This last one, though, multiple dwelling relief, I don't understand it from a political perspective. it's going to affect investors more than anyone else. It's going to have the effect of making it harder for investors to sell portfolios of cheaper properties onto the market, which has got to be against what the government wants. And I'm pretty sure it is. I think the main reason for it, and I honestly don't think they've gone about it the right way, is I bought the most expensive house I've ever owned last year. And it's a 6-bedroom house with a what we call a coach house. So it's a separate block that has a gym, games room, snooker room, like cinema room, separate. And in the gym, it's got a toilet and shower. If I was selling this property, I could very easily turn that into a separate dwelling in order to capitalize on multiple dwelling relief. And in doing so, I'd then have the average of what the coach house was worth and what the house was worth, and I'd pay 2 times the average stamp duty, which is significantly lower because you get 2 allowances. Obviously, it's a slab system. It would be significantly less stamp duty than what I did pay when I bought it. And it's that they've tried to stamp out. So properties are built with annexes, with granny flats, with self-contained flats on purpose to reduce the stamp duty liability. And it's that, I believe, just trying to understand what the government are doing, it's that I believe that they're trying to stamp out. I think a far better way of doing that would have been to make multiple dwelling relief only available on 4 or more properties. I think that would have worked better. But ours not to judge. The rules are the rules. Our job is to play the game as well as we possibly can. Someone criticized me for that last week. They said, oh, but Frank, surely you don't mean that. It was with relation to achieving the highest possible income from tenants on universal credit. So it was about maximizing the rental return, given that the tenants are not paying the rent. And someone said, surely that's not a good social way to operate your business. And I couldn't disagree more with them. I think it's my duty to operate my business as well as possible. I also think it's my duty to give back to my community and to donate to charity, which I do. And if I don't maximize my profit, I'm not in a position to do that. So not entirely clear what the government are trying to achieve, but that's my best take on it. And to be honest, we don't have to understand their methodology. Could change again in a year. Almost certainly will change massively. Well, massively. I say massively. The media will say it's massive, but really it will be tinkering around the edges. But we will see further changes if we have a changing government. It's ludicrous, really. Why do we think we need changes twice a year? Why do we have to change our tax code twice a year? Why can't we just say, do you know what? At the moment, we feel it's fit for purpose. We're just going to monitor it for a few years. Just going to see how we get on. It's as if that's not allowed. But for us, sophisticated investors, it's better if they keep changing it. Change is good for us because it stops people from learning the rules. It means we can maintain our competitive advantage, as I've discussed in this podcast. And so overall, how do I feel about the budget? Pretty ambivalent, really. I felt quite ambivalent before. I feel quite ambivalent now. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. I think we're going to change a few of our strategies slightly. But long and short of it is we're going to buy a lot now. We're going to use a lot of control now, pay later strategies. We're going to pay tax in slightly different ways. And don't get me wrong, I have some holiday lets, but I'm not overexposed in holiday lets. I'm a big fan of diversification, and I think that diversification is what keeps me safe, is what keeps me from having to worry. Well, you never have to worry, but from worrying about changes. if I was all in on holiday lets, if I had my whole portfolio as furnished holiday lets, then I'd be really worried now. If I was all in on any type of property or any part of the country, I'd be nervous. But I'm very diversified, and that's what I teach my clients. My clients are encouraged to anticipate black swan events, and the argument is that taxes changing don't constitute a black swan event. But I think some of them have caught people out, and if people have been a little more switched on about what could happen, a little more prepared. Property is a very passive income source. It's a very leveraged investment, but you still have to be smart about it. You still have to be thinking ahead. And I think a lot of people get lazy. What's worked for 10 years is going to keep working. No, not necessarily. And I think the day we become lazy and stop thinking, it's the day that we start losing money. I negotiated on a portfolio a while ago now, and it was actually, I want to say the third generation that had inherited it. They were all quite elderly, like 60s and 70s. So this portfolio had been built maybe 150 years ago, and it was about 200 properties, I want to say. And you could just see how it was being eroded. It was just being mismanaged and eroded. And I've never met a lot of the landlords that I meet that I'm buying from that have built their own portfolios, they're humble. They're like, do you know what? I did well, but now I'm doing less well. So I'm just going to sell. You know, I've had a good run at it. It's made me good money. I'm selling at a profit. But these people who'd never even bought a property, they'd just taken the money out of this portfolio, raped it, mismanaged it. Like, their definition of the letting agent was, well, he runs at 100% occupancy. And they got very offended when I said, well, if a portfolio runs at 100% occupancy, if no one ever moves out, then your rents are too low. And what had happened, and it's understandable, and it will possibly happen with my portfolio, is unless the generation that inherits it thinks in a similar way to the generation that built the portfolio, then they're not going to grow it. It's going to start shrinking. And this portfolio will be gone in two or three generations. They're selling properties off. They're completely unleveraged, not buying anything, not actively managing the properties. Letting agents managed it for 20 or 30 years, only using one letting agent, not inspecting the properties. And so in summary, was it a big storm in a teacup? Yeah, really. Is it always a storm in a teacup? Yeah, normally. And are we going to do anything differently as a result of the budget? No, not really. Until next time, guys, happy investing.
Sophisticated Property Investing. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing now.